You are listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca, broadcasting to all of Waterloo Region. That was Race Riot from DOA. AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo, radiowaterloo.ca. It is May 18th. That was some prison radio before that. More excerpts from Mumia's book. Check out prisonradio.org for more on that. We have some updates from other events and also some audio from last week, and we got a new article or two to get to. Oh boy, such fantastic stuff. So we talked last week about the LSOI event, the Laurier Society for Open Inquiry event, Frances Whittison speaking at Laurier, and there was protests, and she was speaking basically against the indigenization efforts at schools and upholding truth and reconciliation recommendations. One thing we missed, we had mentioned that there was an event held by the Indigenous Students Association that was going on at Laurier at the same time as the demonstration against the talk. So here was a message from Indigenous Students Association President. Tomorrow, May 9th at 6:30 p.m., the Indigenous Student Center will be holding a ceremony for anyone looking to show support for indigenization, Indigenous people, and our center here at Laurier. Through massacre, genocide, disease, forced assimilation, the Indian Act, the 60s and the millennial scoop, the criminalization of our ceremonies, and all the hurt, trauma, and loss in between, we have proved to be tough and resilient. Though finding ourselves in the crossfire of the free/hate speech controversy is exhausting, we will grow from this. Indigenous people and our allies coming together for ceremony is the medicine and healing we need. And again, that was a message from the president of the Indigenous Students Association at Wilfrid Laurier University reacting to the speaker that the Laurier Society for Open Inquiry, the free speech warriors there, keep bringing in racist speakers, and this was the response to their most recent one. There was protest to these people. Only a dozen people were there for the actual event to soak it in at the actual Whittison event, whereas dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of people were involved in both the protest outside and this ceremony for anyone that was looking to show support for indigenization, Indigenous people, and the Indigenous Students Center at Laurier. Update one. Update two is people from across Quebec will gather Saturday, 19th of May, to welcome refugees at two locations. People from different parts of Quebec, including the Montérégie, will rally at two different locations tomorrow, Saturday the 19th of May, to send a welcome message to refugees crossing at Roxham Road. Organizers of an anti-immigrant rally aimed at intimidating people crossing the border were forced to change their location yesterday in response to the counter-rally called by local and Montreal-based organizations supporting migrants. The Refugee Welcomes Anti-Racist Rallies will take place at both Roxham Road and the regular border post at La Colle. This is to ensure that no refugees are harassed at either site. The festive and colorful rallies will begin at 11 a.m. and continue as long as the racists maintain their xenophobic and hate-filled presence. Live music, activities for children, art workshops, and discussion groups on various topics are planned throughout the day. You can get more information on that, Solidarity Montreal, Solidarity Across Borders. And if you can get to Roxham Road, if you can get to south of Montreal, they are still looking for lots of people to confront the racists that are showing up who are trying to intimidate refugees, but also to make sure that refugees feel welcomed and are not intimidated. Update number three? Let's go to update number three. Lucy Francineth Granados video released to mark Mother's Day 1 month after her deportation from Guatemala City and Montreal as well. On the 13th May, this was released. A video of Lucy Francineth Granados recounting her arrest, detention, and deportation was released to mark Mother's Day. The video was taken in Guatemala City shortly after Lucy's deportation, 1 month ago today. Quote, so many of us undocumented mothers struggle for our children. At the same time, we are not able to have our children with us. We suffer difficult moments living without them. For all the mothers who struggle for the same thing, I ask that they look at our cases. Finally, I thank all those who are doing everything possible so we can have better futures, unquote, said Lucy Granados from Guatemala. Quote, Lucy's effort to support her children, putting her own life at risk to take the infamous death train, La Bestia, across Mexico, crossing three national borders, living a precarious existence as an undocumented woman in Montreal, courageously speaking out publicly for the rights of undocumented women and migrant workers, should be celebrated. She is truly a hero, unquote, said Stacy Gomez, co-coordinator of Maritimes Guatemala Breaking the Silence Network, who took the video. A delegation from the Maritimes recently visited Lucy to learn about the injustices she has faced and to share their solidarity. Quote, Lucy's story illustrates the extraordinary risks that migrant mothers take for their families and how the global systems of borders makes them vulnerable to the worst forms of exploitation and abuse and treats them with total contempt and violence, unquote, said Amy Darwish of Solidarity Across Borders. Quote, the way they took me out was not the way they should have done it. They took me out like they would take out a criminal, more than a criminal. I feel like I am not a criminal. I have never done anything for these people to treat me like that, unquote, says Lucy in the video, referring to the Canadian Border Services Agency, or the CBSA. Lucy was deported from Canada on 13th April 2018 through a hole in a fence behind the detention center with only the clothes on her back and without her Guatemalan ID papers. She was deported despite widespread public support for her to remain in Canada and despite the fact that her application for permanent residence on humanitarian grounds has not been decided. And we will now listen to that video. It's hashtag Bring Back Lucy. Interview with Lucy Francineth Granados here on AWOL Radio.
My name is Lucy Francineth Granados. On March 20th, four Canadian Border Services Agency officers violently arrested and detained Lucy Francineth Granados, an advocate for the rights of undocumented women and workers, as well as the single mother of three children. Lucy had been living in Montreal for 9 years. For over 3 weeks, she was held at the Laval Detention Center, during which time she was emergency hospitalized twice. Despite strong public support to let Lucy stay in Canada, she was deported to Guatemala on April 13th. To date, Lucy has not received a response regarding her humanitarian application for permanent residence, submitted last year. In an interview on April 21st in Guatemala City, Lucy shares her story.
Para mí ha sido muy difícil vivir sin papeles en Montreal.
For me, it's been very difficult to live without papers in Montreal. I've made a lot of sacrifices to be able to take care of my family. When I would have liked to have a work permit to legally, without fear, without anything. I have three children to fight for, as well as my mother and brother. And the truth is, I am the support for five people. I don't have the support of anyone. That is, support to provide for my family. Also here in Guatemala, my life is in a lot of danger. It makes me scared. With all of that, I am traumatized. I am very stressed. I'm doing very badly. The 20th of March, I was in my apartment. At 5:50 a.m., I heard someone knock at the door. It was immigration. I got really scared and I wanted to leave through the balcony. But when I went downstairs, there were two more people who asked for my name. I went upstairs again and was able to call a friend. They took my telephone and got angry. They knocked me down onto the table and later onto the floor. They hit me in the back. When they bent my arms back, I heard my arm crack. It happened 1 month ago, yesterday. To date, I can't move my hand. I don't know what happened. They did x-rays on me and everything, but they didn't give me the results. They received all the information and supposedly an x-ray showed that everything was fine. Well, being in immigrant detention was really difficult for me. I had some moments where I felt I would die. Locked up without any access to fresh air all the time. It was very difficult for me. I didn't sleep for the 22 days I was in there. Just thinking, always being awake, seeing everyone around me. Taking medications they gave me there, not knowing what they were for. To relax me, but I couldn't relax. I still feel very anxious. I can't rest, I can't sleep, I can't. I feel bad, very stressed. I feel bad because, to me, the way that they took me out of the detention center was not the way that they should have done it. Because I think that they took me out like they would take out a criminal, more than a criminal. And I feel like I'm not a criminal. I've never done anything in Montreal for these people to treat me like this. And the worst was that they sent me without my clothes. They sent me with only the clothes I was wearing. They took me out in a horrible way. Here it's very difficult, more so now that I can't move my arm. My fingers are asleep. There's pain in my chest. I can't work. I feel bad because I left this country since I was threatened by so much crime. Now I'm afraid to have returned because the same people that were looking for me before could find me. And it would be worse for me. Well, I truthfully don't understand how all of this happened, since I am in an ongoing process of applying for residency on humanitarian grounds. I think that they should look at my file, because they never reviewed my file before deporting me. I think they need to review it and make a decision based on that. I don't know what I'm going to do here. Here I don't have the support of anyone. The government or nothing, just the support of my mother and my children. I'll repeat, they sent me with nothing. I don't know how I'm going to live in this country. I know that the group in Montreal will not abandon me. They will fight until they can see that there is an attention placed on the file I have open. Please, that they review it before doing anything. Because what they did to me wasn't just. They should have seen my file first, review it, and read it before taking a decision to deport me. I give a lot of thanks to all these people, not only to the group I was part of, but to all the people that I have by my side, whom I don't even know. Thank you for everything. I appreciate it a lot, with all my heart.
Les agradezco mucho, de todo corazón. Yo espero.
I hope that you can succeed in making the Minister for Immigration realize that what they did wasn't just, and that he can make a decision to look at my open file in Montreal. Interviewer and editor, Stacy Gomez. Posted by Sans Frontier MTL on YouTube. Hashtag bring back Lucy.
For more information and solidarity actions, visit solidarityacrossborders.org. That's solidarityacrossborders.org. And that was a video posted by Sans Frontier MTL, Montreal Sans Frontier. Hashtag bring back Lucy, interview with Lucy Francineth Granados. Listening to AWOL Radio here on 102.7 CKMS, Radio Waterloo, May 18th. We have another action going on, this one. On Wednesday, May 23rd, 2018, 9 a.m. at Osgoode Hall, 130 Queen Street West, join No One Is Illegal as we pack the courts to free Ibrahim Touré. It's a short rally followed by sitting in court. This is Ibrahim Touré's fifth spring behind bars. He is Canada's longest-serving immigration prisoner. On May 23rd, join us as we show solidarity with Ibrahim and all migrants in their struggle for justice. On May 23rd, Ibrahim will have been detained for 1,915 days. We are bringing tulips to the courthouse to give to Touré. Bring one if you can. Please join us to demand freedom for Ibrahim, an end to immigration detention and deportations, and status for all. It is not only Ibrahim Touré's freedom that is at stake. Last October, Ibrahim and his lawyers successfully fought to stop migrants from being locked up in maximum security jails. Ibrahim spent 4.5 years in a maximum security jail in Lindsay, Ontario. Government lawyers are using his case to argue that maximum security is okay for immigration detainees and to end the use of provincial courts to free them. Using the provincial courts has been the only mechanism that has allowed detainees to rejoin their families and communities. The government is trying to make this unjust detention system even harsher for migrants. We must fight this and show our strong support for Ibrahim and for all migrants caught in this violent system. Hashtag free Ibrahim. Hashtag end immigration detention. Hashtag status for all. Hashtag tulips for Touré. And again, join No One Is Illegal as we pack the courts on May 23rd. More information on facebook.com/events. Also check out knowoneisillegal.org for more and the Toronto group. Last week I said we were going to play some audio from montrealcounterinfo.org, and it was Montreal, meet your local alt-right Nazi scumbags. And now I'm going to play that audio. There is a real long article talking about Zeiger, or a.k.a. Gabriel Sohier Chaput. That's his real name, also known as Nazi boy Zeiger. Well, here's a video about the unmasking of Zeiger and others. And then we're going to go into another article about the racist podcaster who started a neo-Nazi coffee company to fund white nationalism. And that'll come up next.
Tiki torch-wielding Nazi you see on the screen is Montreal resident Gabriel Soyer-Chaput, also known as Zeiger, and sometimes as Charles Chappell by his legion of sea-kyling followers in the alt-right. I'm the Bear, and I'm a Montreal anti-fascist.
The Bear is part of a group that has been tracking down Zeiger and other Montreal neo-Nazis. He has agreed to speak to us anonymously.
Former is basically designed to appeal to teenagers because it's like it's funny, it's hardcore and things like that.
Zeiger is one of the main contributors and administrators for the Daily Stormer, one of the most popular neo-Nazi websites in the world, which was created by dollar store Führer Andrew Anglin.
Africa and Southeast Asia, these people need to just be mass sterilized, or some kind of a virus needs to be released on them.
He also used to be one of the main admins for IronMarch.org, a now defunct but hugely influential neo-Nazi platform that was connected to the creation of the Atomwaffen Division, an ultra-violent paramilitary neo-Nazi group linked to 5 murders and a bomb plot in the United States. Zeiger is one of the main ideologues of the neo-Nazi wing of the alt-right worldwide. He has written hundreds of articles and essays, has his own neo-Nazi podcast, appears as a regular guest on others, and has written at least 2 books of neo-Nazi propaganda. Zeiger was born and raised in Montreal and lives in the Rosemont neighborhood. He has been able to conceal his real identity until now, but Nazi scum like him cannot hide from us forever. We will always track you fuckers down. Born on October 5th, 1986, Gabriel Soyer-Chaput went to Paul Guérin-Lajoie d'Outremont High School in the Outremont neighborhood of Montreal and graduated in 2003. He participated in some two-bit oratory contests and dabbled in philosophy before becoming a full-fledged Nazi.
Remember it! Gas the kites, race one now!
He worked for the UPS store and now apparently works from home as an independent IT contractor. Over the last year and a half, Soyer-Chaput has played an instrumental role in bringing together individuals loosely tied to the alt-right in Montreal in what they call a Daily Stormer book club. Book clubs are in-real-life meetings meant to be a first step toward direct actions. The dates of these Montreal Book Club meetings, which took place at people's houses or at various bars around town, happened to coincide with the proliferation of neo-Nazi and white supremacist stickers and posters in Montreal. This group, which calls itself Arm & Hammer Brothers, ARM stands for Alt-Right Montreal, is also a local hub for Generation Identity Canada, now rebranded as ID Canada, another nationwide white supremacist project connected to the broader European and American white identitarian movement. So how did we find him? Charlottesville was the first red flag. Zeiger and some of his crew were featured on the Vice News video report on Charlottesville, where they interviewed the now infamous crying neo-Nazi Chris Cantwell.
In Canada, hurting people's feelings is basically illegal.
In another video from Charlottesville, Asmodor, another Daily Stormer personality, put a name to a face.
Zeiger.
No, but you pretty much said everything. I mean, not right now. We're kind of fucked because we don't know where to go. And
from that moment on, we have been hot on his tracks. Some of his gang were identified and doxed right away. These include Sean Beauvais-McDonald and Vincent Bélanger-Mercure.
By the way, Zeiger, how homogenous is Montreal?
Overall, it's a shithole. Maybe, I don't know what the exact numbers, but it feels like there's 50% or more that are non-white. Basically a stepping stone. They're getting here first, so it's a transit area, and they stop at the place where their kebab brothers are going to make it comfortable for them. So we don't need gun control, we just need kebab control.
That is a clip from This Hour Has 88 Minutes podcast, which we're going to be talking about in the next part.
We closely listened to podcasts on which he'd appeared and analyzed his posts, but couldn't find anything conclusive about his real identity. That is, until we got access to Discord logs. Discord is an online chat forum initially intended for gamers that has become a favorite organizing platform for the far right. They divide their chat rooms into multiple servers that cover various topics, locations, and groups. The Montreal server was called Montreal Storm, and it was used to coordinate meetups as well as talk shit. A whole lot of disgusting, gut-churning, eye-popping Nazi shit. From these logs, we were able to find his address because he was stupid enough to post it himself when he invited his Nazi buddies over to watch a Trump-Clinton debate back in September 2016.
I have a big party planned for the 26th, and I don't want her to croak before then. It's the debate party, so if she croaks during the party, it's going to be the best day of my life.
We then figured out that the man who lives at that address to this day goes by the name Laurent Chaput. But through doing research on Laurent Chaput, we found out that his full surname was actually Soyer-Chaput. We also knew from Zeiger's Iron March profile that his Skype account name was Gabriel Zeiger. A quick Google search for Gabriel Soyer-Chaput brought up a SoundCloud account featuring his profile picture from Google+. By comparing the background of that picture with that of an interview Zeiger gave in September 2016 to a French fascist website, it was clear that both were shot in the same exact place. And by comparing the voice from his podcasts and speeches to that of a pathetic oratory contest he did in 2011, it was again obviously the same person. And there we have it. Zeiger is Gabriel Soyer-Chapu, the Nazi scumbag next door.
To read the Montreal Storm Discord logs at montrealnazileaks.org. Help us expose Nazis. Email docs.mtl@riseup.net. Antifascist action. And again, that's Montreal Counter Information, mtlcounterinfo.org. Right, as I said, we're going to the Vice News piece. Vice.com, the racist podcaster who started a neo-Nazi coffee company to fund white nationalism. Not going to read the whole piece, but check out this Vice.com piece posted May 16th, 2018, by Martin Patrick Lynn, Mac Lamoureux, Alheli Picasso, and Evan Balgord. May 16, 2018, posted on Vice.com. This project was in collaboration with the Canadian Anti-Hate Network. A Vice investigation has revealed the identity of one of the hosts of Canada's most popular neo-Nazi podcasts and his attempt at building a neo-Nazi company. In the spring of 2017, Thomas White had an idea. What if he combined his love of gourmet coffee with his staunch belief in a white ethnostate? In caffeinated circles, White was already well known. Espresso Gioia, which he opened in 2015, was a fixture of Thunder Bay, Ontario's small but vibrant arts scene. The walls of the coffee shop, located in the town's trendy waterfront district, served as a revolving gallery for local artists. Gioia's small stage regularly hosted a mostly acoustic plethora of singer-songwriters, and its shelves were stocked with local foods and goods. The quality of Gioia's espresso, hyped by locals and out-of-town Yelp users alike, completed this artsy smorgasbord. Quote, "It's all about doing really exceptional quality in terms of the quality of the product, as well as providing a really nice space for local artists," unquote, White said in a short 2017 documentary on Thunder Bay's coffee scene. An accredited teacher, he taught drawing art at the local art center and was a volunteer firefighter. Online, White was the antithesis of this very earnest coffee shop owner. For the last 6 months under the alias League of the North, White has co-hosted This Hour Has 88 Minutes, the most popular white supremacist podcast in the country. The podcast title, a riff on CBC comedy show This Hour Has 22 Minutes, with a nod to the 88, or the numerical representation of HH, speaks to the show's format and ethos, a white nationalist take on the news replete with racial epithets, misogyny, and conspiracy theories, coupled with Holocaust denials and the occasional veiled call for violence. And White wanted to get his coffee into the hands of 88 Minutes listeners, as well as anyone else with pride in their white skin. Vice conducted a months-long investigation into White and his coffee business. This included going through hours upon hours of podcasts, thousands of forum posts, pulling property records, and speaking to numerous people familiar with the situation on background. Two separate teams, one from Vice Canada and the other from Vice Quebec, arrived at the same conclusion independently. Former Thunder Bay coffee whiz Thomas White was the man behind both the neo-Nazi coffee company Rising Sun Coffee and League of the North, making him one of the biggest players in the booming Canadian alt-right scene. During these podcasts, League of the North, one of several of White's aliases uncovered by Vice, often acts as a cheerleader for the movement, speaking at length for the need to organize and promote white nationalism. Quote, It's really easy, especially where I live, to feel really isolated in our movement to secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, unquote. He said in his first guest appearance on the show on February 20th, 2017, quote, "We are the future of our people, so we need to get organized," unquote. Ugh. White positioned himself as a voice in the wilderness seeking to bring together like-minded racists such as himself. And again, that's League of the North. This is an article from Vice.com. I'm not going to read it all, as it is lengthy and it is detailed. And it outs and doxes, well, it doesn't dox, it outs and exposes racist podcaster and neo-Nazi coffee company founder Thomas White. Check out Vice.com for that, and it is a new piece, very long, good article that looks into White's history, looks at his claims, disputes some of the claims he's made, as well as just exposes him as a racist Nazi scum and the Rising Sun Coffee Company that he made. Thankfully, Espresso Joya, the cafe that he ran, went out of business after he exposed himself a little bit as a white nationalist, not his role as League of the North, but he started expressing his white nationalist views more, and people started boycotting Espresso Joya, forcing it to shut down just under a year ago. Anyways, check out that full article on Vice.com. The racist podcaster who started a neo-Nazi coffee company to fund white nationalism. Zaywall Radio here on Radio Waterloo, CKMS 102.7 FM, radiowaterloo.ca. Check out past AWOL Radio on grandrivermc.ca. Interviews and full shows up there, as well as some articles, and working on getting more content on that page as well. Yeah, AWOL Radio.